You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. We're all fired up. Glad to be back. Every Monday, best and worst of the weekend, your chance to be part of the program, whether you dial us up, you email, or you tweet, or all the above. Say good morning to our great radio partners around the country. We're up over 370 cities around the country. Also, our TV partner, Peacock. McLovin, we'll have a play of the day. We got a stat of the day. And we got a poll question as well. All of that coming up. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. I've been doing this a long time. I've been doing this over three decades. And we probably had a 4 or 5 day stretch that I never thought would be happening. You had coaches fired, GMs fired. You had a guy playing quarterback who hadn't played quarterback and just pulled off a practice squad. You got a game moved. You got a team in San Francisco that doesn't have a home anymore. Other than that, just another regular weekend, right? And if you're looking for one game that encapsulates all the problems in the NFL with COVID, look no further than the Saints and Broncos on Sunday. After Jeff Driscoll tested positive, and each of the quarterbacks on the rosters were with him without mask on, and Denver was left without a quarterback. So they turned to a practice squad receiver, Kendall Hilton. He played that position in college. And he did his best. He didn't get one snap under center during the week. And they really didn't have a chance. They were blown out 31-3. And there's plenty of blame to go around. Denver head coach Vic Fangio said his quarterbacks were reckless. Others pointed to the NFL. They pushed back other games, but they didn't in this case. They really seemed determined to punish the Broncos, and they're really determined to get this season in on time. But the reality of the coronavirus might be it's going to get in the way. Sunday's game was a mess, but you get the feeling that's not the last time the league has to make a decision that no one is happy with. And when I'm watching this game, I love this tweet that was sent out. It was Kevin Clark, and he tweets out, "The idea of a game without quarterbacks is more fun than an actual game without quarterbacks." I'd love to see every team do this. Every team, like one Sunday out of the year. Every team has to play without a quarterback, a designated quarterback on their roster. I don't know what it'll look like, but yesterday with the Broncos, that was about as embarrassing as it can get. Now, Denver did the best that they could, but it felt like the NFL says, oh, you're not going to wear your mask in a room with all the quarterbacks, then you're going to basically be without quarterbacks here. Then you got the Ravens situation. Who knows? I think they're playing tomorrow, but I don't know. And then they were going to play on Thursday, but they're not playing on Thursday. It's a mess. And we're getting right up to the line. We're getting right up to that line where the NFL is going to have to add another playoff team and another week of games. I thought this was going to be the week where they just said, hey, you know what? We can't get these games in. The competitive balance is at stake. And really, that's the key. I don't want you to go full speed ahead like baseball did. Hey, we don't care how many games you play. Let's just get to the postseason. The NFL has to put out something that resembles NFL football. And they didn't do that. If you're a warm body, you're playing for the Baltimore Ravens tomorrow. That's the feeling I get. Maybe even if you're not that warm, you're still going to be playing for the Ravens. And to me, that's an embarrassment for the NFL. There were a couple of games that stood out. That Denver game certainly did. 49ers are now in a jam. That's a horrible, or I should say the Rams, it's a horrible loss for the Rams. You got to win those games. Where's your offense there? They had offense, and then they had no offense yesterday. Patrick Mahomes beats Tom Brady. In yesterday's loss, Tampa dropped to 1-5 this season against quarterbacks who have started Super Bowls. They lost to Drew Brees twice. And now they lost to Mahomes, Nick Foles, and Jared Goff. They did defeat Aaron Rodgers. Against all the other quarterbacks, they're 6-0. They still have to face Matt Ryan, though, again. Brady has thrown 11 interceptions this season, including 9 at home. That ties for the most picks he's had at home in any season. You go back to 2006 when he had 9. Kansas City kept them in the game. As great as Mahomes is and Tyreek Hill, by the way, I know Bruce Arians has forgotten more football than I know, but at some point I probably don't do man-to-man coverage on Tyreek Hill. I mean, call me crazy, but after he's got, I don't know, 200 receiving yards, I go, maybe we don't cover him with one guy straight up there. But they did, but they stayed in the game. You got Seahawks and Eagles tonight. I can't wait for the headline tomorrow because it's either going to be Carson Wentz did something really good, Wentz did something bad, Jalen Hurts did something really good, Jalen Hurts did something really bad. And then you throw in Russell Wilson. Can he add to what has been a MVP-like season? Any objections to what I said a couple of weeks ago? Patrick Mahomes is the MVP, and right now it's not even close, but he's underrated. Anybody? Yeah, exactly. You saw that yesterday. It's incredible what he's done. I don't know if the team is great, but he is, and Tyreek Hill is great. You still have Kelce in there. The defense is bendable, but it doesn't look like it's breakable. And that offense is good enough to get you. They're up 17-0. Now I make Brady one-dimensional. That completely changed the complexion of this. And I don't put all of this on Brady. I don't know what game Tony Romo was watching at times, because it felt like this was what I think happened. Now, I don't have any information. This is just me knowing what happens usually during the week. Tony Romo probably got on a Zoom call, Tom Brady, and they probably started chatting a little bit, as quarterbacks do. And then Tom probably said something, and then Tony said something. And man, that offense, and I don't know, is that the offense you ran in New England? Certainly looks different. Are they asking you to do different things? And then all of a sudden, Tom probably unloaded on him a little bit. And therefore, it felt like Tony Romo was going out of his way to say, this isn't on Tom Brady. Well, Tom Brady picked Bruce Arians. Maybe he didn't have a lot to pick from, the Bears and the Chargers and Tampa, but he chose this. It's on him. That personality, that style, all of those weapons, that's on him. But it feels like there's a little bit of a fracture there, just a little bit, or at least there's some tremors there. But hey, by the way, Brady did congratulate Patrick Mahomes after the game, so there is progress there. Yes, Paulie.
Romo was crushing the Bucs in the first half, but then at the end of the game, he goes, these two teams are going to play again. And Nance was like, what was that tone?
They're not playing again this year. Tampa's going to be on the road for the playoffs, the entire playoffs. Kansas City, they might be on the road for a game if they end up in Pittsburgh. But Tampa, the way they're playing, I don't see that happening. Peter King will join us coming up in a little bit. We'll check in with the Buccaneers next hour. And Maurice Jones-Drew from the NFL Network will stop by. Your phone calls always welcome, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. This program is brought to you by 1-800-FLOWERS. You can still celebrate the season with Christmas flower arrangements and more. To order, go to 1-800-FLOWERS.com. See that radio icon. Enter the promo code Patrick. You are good to go. Poll question today, McLovin.
Okay, do you want to start negative or positive?
Well, it was Thanksgiving weekend. Let's start negative.
Okay. Let's just jump into which coaching vacancy would you want? Because all of a sudden, there's about 10 of them, possibly. The Jets, is it looking like they'll have Trevor Lawrence? Is that going to be the spot?
You know what? There are people actually think the Jets have a little bit more than what they show. That it's not you open up the cupboard and there's nothing in there. That it feels like there's a little more there. I get nervous with the front office and the ownership part of that. If I bring somebody in and they get Trevor Lawrence, are they going to get full autonomy there? Or how much autonomy do they get? But I don't know if you can get a new owner. It doesn't seem like that's going to happen. What else, McLovin?
Wait, are you saying that they are tanking, basically? Like they have more talent than they're showing?
No, I don't. Right now it might be systemic, where it's just that malaise that's over a franchise and it's been there for a long time. But I don't think it's – I think they're better than a winless team. Let me put it that way. That doesn't mean that they're, you know, that much better than Jacksonville, and they have one win. But from what I'm told, that there are NFL personnel people who look at the Jets and say, it's not as dire as you think. They seem to be pathetic, but they're not.
The other teams on that list were the Jags, the Falcons may or may not be open now because Raheem Morris is doing a nice job. The Lions just opened and the Texans are still open. Is there like a plum job out of that group?
You know, once Bill O'Brien was shown the door, the Texans have played pretty well. I just don't like, you know, some the salary cap issues there. You know, Deshaun Watson has played pretty well. J.J. Watt's not going to be there next year. But, you know, they traded away DeAndre Hopkins. They don't have much to show for that. Are you sold on Will Fuller? I don't know. It feels like Eric Bieniemy is going to get an opportunity to pick where he wants to go. But, you know, if Atlanta acts like I think Atlanta's going to, and that is they're going to reel off like four or five in a row and probably beat Tampa one of these two games, then, you know, maybe Raheem Morris keeps that job. I don't know. But Jacksonville, if you don't get the number one pick, you get the number two pick. And are you sold on Justin Fields after what you saw a couple of weeks ago? By the way, I have some information on the Big Ten and Ohio State. And it's not good news for Ohio State. I'll have that for you. I have that for you coming up in a little bit. I forgot all about it. I got this text from my college football insider, and he laid it out in pretty stark terms here. Yeah, Paulie.
Is this news going to make Northwestern really upset, if you know what I mean? That they could have had an easier path?
I don't know. Oh. Maybe. Terrible loss by Northwestern. Oh. Terrible loss. Terrible. But you're going to have openings here. You're in college football. I mean, when you think about it, Vandy, South Carolina, their jobs are open. Is Texas open? Is Michigan open? Is Auburn open? Is Tennessee open? Going to have a lot of marquee openings here in college football. Yes, McLovin.
But I keep asking, you know, don't they get a pass this year because of everything that's going on? Can you really, in college, fire your coach despite the circumstances?
I guess it depends on how long you've been there. And do you see a light at the end of the tunnel? Yeah. If you say, okay, what's the excuse with Michigan with COVID? What's Penn State's excuse?
Well, they lost Micah Hyde, right? I don't think their best player and their second best player, the running back.
Micah Parsons, sorry.
And their second best player, the running back, had a heart condition. Yeah. That's pretty big. I mean, that's a good excuse.
Okay. You're still Penn State. James Franklin is a successful coach. He's been there for a few years. What's Jim Harbaugh's excuse? He doesn't have a quarterback. What did COVID have to do with that? These are all his players. That has nothing to do with this. I think if you're a coach and you're not playing well, you're going to lean on COVID. But, you know, the coach... The coach at Coastal Carolina, is he leaning on this? BYU? You know, run down the list of all these. Cincinnati, how they somehow had a great season. Are they leaning on COVID? So if you're going to lean on it when you're losing, then you get extra credit when you win with COVID. But no, I think the Big Ten's got some issues here coming up. What else do you have, McLovin?
Are you in favor of the NFL expanding to 16 playoff teams now? Now, as I understand, you said the rule is if there's a week 18 that they'll add an extra playoff team. I asked, why not just go for it now because it's such an unusual season anyway and get a couple more, give more teams a chance?
Well, I would do it, but I would have probably postponed this week. I would have tried to give these teams a chance to hit the reset button and get as many teams as healthy as possible. You're, you know, three quarters of the way through the season. And at some point, we knew that this was going to be an issue. It happened sooner than I thought it was. It happened sooner than a source said with the NFL that it was going to happen. And now it gets really dicey here. But I think you're going to see the NFL probably add a week 18 here. And that way they can allow these teams to exhale a little bit. Because after what we saw this weekend, I think they needed to do it. Yeah, Seton.
But is that the kind of thing, like, can you expand the playoffs in the NFL for just one season and then go back the next year to normal?
Usually not.
I don't think that you would be able to.
Yeah, it feels like, you know, just like baseball when they said, hey, we're going to 16 teams. And then rarely do you go and then you backtrack a little bit. You know? And it feels like the NFL, you didn't get any fans in the stands. Now I get an extra, round of playoffs or extra teams in there, extra revenue in there. And it feels like, just like college football. If college football could ever get their act together and not move at a snail's pace, then they probably could have been able to do their, 12 or 18 playoffs. This would have been the year to do it. Yeah, Paulie.
Do you think that commissioner ego plays in at all, that Roger Goodell and his guys want to play as tight and unchanged of a season as they can and say, like, look what we did. We're the NFL. We didn't bubble. We didn't switch things around by months. We didn't take a break. Any chance there's ego involved?
Well, I'm sure, because it's the NFL, but you can also, that ego can come back and bite you where it's embarrassing what you're trying to do and force this in. And I got that feeling with the NFL this past weekend. Denver may have brought this on itself, but that game should not have been played. Baltimore, we're going to move it, and then we're going to move it. Now we're going to play Tuesday. That shouldn't be played, in my opinion, should not be played. But the NFL wants to have this on time, and everything that they've done this year, we're going to have everything as scheduled. Might not look the same. Everything's going to be scheduled. And that's what they want to do. But I think we're going to get to the point, a breaking point, where we're going to have an 18-week added to the schedule. All right, we'll take a break. Peter King will join us coming up. We'll talk to him about some of these issues that we saw. Was the NFL punishing the Broncos? Seahawks-Eagles is a big game tonight. And I think Jalen Hurts is going to play a whole lot more than Doug Peterson is letting on. Ravens-Steelers is supposed to be on Tuesday. We'll recap all of that. Your phone calls are welcome. Best and worst of the weekend, 18 after the hour. Just getting started on this Monday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Sleep, quality sleep, more important than ever as we head into wintertime. Not only is it a natural immunity booster, but it also helps with energy and recovery. When we sleep, our brains begin a highly orchestrated, intricate dance of complex activities that fuel our waking life. Throughout the night, we cycle in and out of two stages of sleep. Slow wave sleep, SWS, doesn't get as much credit as rapid eye movement, REM. The brain processes complex stimuli while asleep and uses this information to help you make the right decisions when you're awake, unless you're Todd. That's why you need to get a great night's sleep. You can discover the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed for game-changing sleep. My brother called me over the weekend, and he was at a Sleep Number store, and he goes, "Hey, what's your sleep number?" I go, "None of your business." He goes, "No, what is it? I'm at the Sleep Number store." I said, "100. He goes, "Okay." And then he hung up. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time only. Sleep Number, Sleep Number Store, sleepnumber.com/Patrick. Sleep Number, the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. This program brought to you by Mercedes-AMG. What's the difference between an AMG skeptic and an AMG believer? A split second. The time that takes to fire up the ignition, step on the gas, and hear that gutsy engine roar. Go to MBUSA.com. AMG, Mercedes-AMG driving performance. I would say that he eats and sleeps and drinks football, but he doesn't get to sleep. He's Peter King, the football morning in America columnist, NBCSports.com. Pete joins us now. Pete, explain the Denver Broncos situation and why this game was played.
Well, because on October 13th, Roger Goodell sent an email, sort of sent a manifest about the way he wanted the rest of the NFL season to go. And he said in that document very clearly that although many of us in the media had speculated, because there's a lot of people in the league who wanted it this way, we had speculated that if a position group gets knocked out, they're going to postpone the game and they'll make it up in week 18. And Roger Goodell sent out this memo that said, no, this is why you have been handed a 16-person practice squad. You figure a way to, if you get your offensive line wiped out, you figure a way to get an offensive line to be ready to play. And the same thing happened with Denver. You know, Bill Polian, who's an advisor to Goodell this year, told me yesterday, essentially, hey, Bruce Arians has one of his quarterbacks set apart from all the other quarterbacks so that if they test positive, he'll always have one. And he said the Broncos chose not to do that. If he was saying everything that he wanted to say, he would have said, dumb move by the Broncos. But in reality, Dan, it kind of was. So teams have been on notice for 6 weeks that if they get a position group wiped out, they're still going to have to play. And Dan, this all goes back to something that Goodell told me right around Labor Day, and that is there is no guarantee that the disease, that the virus is going to get any better anytime soon. And we're seeing that right now. It's getting worse every week rather than getting better. So the NFL's view is we would rather see a compromised football game than push the season back a week and risk not being able to finish the season.
But what do you think it's going to take for the commissioner to have that, add that extra week and maybe that extra playoff team in each conference?
What it would take, I believe, is an outbreak such as Baltimore's, but an outbreak such as Baltimore's that shows no signs of flagging. So in other words, you know, the outbreak in Baltimore is now getting less. There were two more players added to it Saturday, one on Sunday. And the Ravens have been told flat out by Alan Sills and the people inside the NFL, look, we see this going away. You know, we think we have this virus contained. Now, if they were in the middle of it and every day they're getting 8 or 10 more people put on the list, that is when I believe the NFL would say, we got to create a week 18 if and only if that the games have some playoff significance. If Jacksonville and the Jets, I don't even know if they're playing, but if Jacksonville and the Jets had a game canceled or a game postponed, they wouldn't make up the game.
Talking to Peter King, his column must read, Football Morning in America. I'm trying to figure out I feel like I know the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like, I figure the Kansas
City,
like, I'm just not quite sure. So let me start with the Buccaneers. Where do you stand with them of where they are now and maybe bigger picture here?
I mean, the incredible thing about the Bucs is that there have been times this year where Brady has been in total concert with the play calling and his receivers. I can think of 3 or 4 games where he's looked absolutely marvelous. And then there are times when, you know, the ball is falling 5 yards in front of his receivers and you're saying, what just happened? I think it has something to do with two things, Dan. Number one, Tom Brady is a guy who loves to throw the football. I'm talking about during the week, in practice, in the off season. Even at the age of 43, he is throwing pain-free, and, you know, because he's got his mechanics worked on with Tom House, and he's throwing the ball, and he's so comfortable with it that when he was in New England, you know, he would throw maybe not year-round, but close to it, and that would allow him to get, you know, form such a great bond with his receivers. The year that Chris Hogan came in, for instance, as a free agent, and then in the Super Bowl comeback against Atlanta, that was his big season. I remember saying to Brady after the season, how did you get in such great chemistry with Chris Hogan and with Malcolm Mitchell, that guy who had the 1 year run with the Patriots? How did you? And he said, you know, 122 practices. He knew how many practices he had. And so in the off season, that's part of his time with his receivers. And although they did some stuff off the field, it wasn't organized. And Arians and Leftwich weren't there. So I think that's part of it. And I think the other part of it is, too, that defenses know exactly how to play Tom Brady right now. And what they're doing is they're taking advantage of the fact that Arians loves to throw the ball deep. And so he doesn't really get the amount of protection that some teams would give. For instance, keeping in a second tight end to help Brady, like a sixth offensive lineman. In my opinion, that's what they should do more of right now to help Brady have a chance to be more of Brady this year. But you're right. From week to week, it's hard to know what to expect from them.
Yeah, I'm watching yesterday, and Tony Romo went out of his way to basically say, I'm not putting this on Tom Brady. I'm putting this on Bruce Arians and this offensive game plan. Tom Brady knew what he was signing up for. He knew what he was signing up for Bruce Arians. He knew what he was signing up with his offensive philosophy, right?
Well, he did, but let's be honest about this. Part of this was about a lifestyle change and the fact that, as he told me in the summer, he said, you know, this is my 30th year in football, and it's the first season I'm ever entering with an offensive head coach. His high school, college, and professional head coaches have all been defensive guys. So that was part of it. And the second part is, Dan, tell me how many options he had. You know, I think that he wishes the Indianapolis Colts were interested, because that, I think he would have loved to have worked with Frank Reich. But the Colts weren't interested. And so, you know, I think you have to look at your situation and what options you have. And look, I think that this has a chance to turn out okay. Maybe not Super Bowl okay, but better than it looks right now. Because I just, when you count out Tom Brady, you usually are disappointed.
Do you think Brady's better than Philip Rivers?
Today, right now, I do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was surprised. I know Tom reached out to the Colts, or at least I was told that, and the Colts basically, they had already made up their mind they were going with Philip Rivers.
I think that was easy, though, Dan, because of Frank Reich's history with Philip Rivers.
Is Carson Wentz benchable?
He should be. You know, just...
Financially?
Well, financially, it's going to hurt if you put him on the bench, obviously. But, you know, look, it's almost like, you know, the Chicago Bears hoping against hope week after week after week, all of last year, basically, you know, oh, geez, you know, Trubisky's going to come out of it early this year. Trubisky's going to come out of it. And, you know, at some point you have to say, what's the best thing to win the game this week? And in my opinion, I think Doug Peterson, it's long past time. It's 2 weeks past time to consider playing Jalen Hurts.
What are the Niners going to do?
I think they're going to argue with the county in Santa Clara. And obviously you saw last night, they're extremely upset with them because instead of telling them what they were going to do, they issued a press release.
Yeah.
They're going to argue with them that, look, we have done a great job in, you know, in keeping our facility clean, blah, 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 blah. But if they lose, you know, I've always thought that the best place for them to go was Arizona because of the multiple places they could find to work and the ready-made NFL stadium. I have no idea what the stadium in San Diego looks like right now, Dan. But I think it makes more sense. And I have no idea what the Oakland Coliseum looks like right now. Could the Oakland Coliseum be in shape to play a football game that the 49ers need on Sunday? They need to win a game, you know, the next 2 weeks to stay in this playoff hunt. And they're home the next 2 weeks. And I think it'll be difficult. That's why I think they got to go to a ready-made NFL stadium. Arizona makes the most sense to me.
Why did the Lions now realize they needed to move on from Matt Patricia?
They were, you know, look, it's an inexperienced owner. She just got the team this year. She doesn't know what she doesn't know. Sheila Ford Hamp. She just doesn't know. And so she wanted to give her team a chance, as big a chance as she could. And then when she saw what happened the last 2 weeks, she said, this is unfixable. And it probably was going to be unfixable anyway. But I think she just said, I want to give this, you know, my people as much of a chance as they deserve.
Where do you think is going to be the best opening, head coach wise?
Houston. I wrote this morning that, you know, I think it would be so cool to see Eric Bieniemy graduate from Patrick Mahomes to Deshaun Watson. Can you imagine you're an offensive coordinator and then you're a head coach and the two quarterbacks in the prime of your career, are Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson? It'd be incredible. And so I always will go for the place that has the young quarterback under contract and a clean slate. The other thing about Houston, you know, Houston is a wounded animal right now. You know, they need to be totally rebuilt. So the fact that they don't have a one or a two this year, Dan, wouldn't really bother me. I think that's an attractive job.
Yeah, it makes me nervous, though, with no draft picks and salary cap issues and J.J. Watt. What do you do with him? I love Deshaun Watson, but would the Jets be a better opening with a clean slate with a quarterback on a rookie contract?
I mean, look at the New York Jets. You know, they choose Adam Gase over Matt Rhule, and they could have had Matt Rhule. And I'm not saying Matt Rhule is Paul Brown, but he's better than Adam Gase. And they were just comfortable with taking an NFL coach. And, you know, it's turned out to be a disaster. I have faith in Joe Douglas. I think Joe Douglas is really good. But there are issues inside that organization. There just are. There always have been. There's a reason why Bill Belichick resigned as the HC of the NYJ. And, you know, somebody has to take that franchise by the neck and shake it and say, this is my team. It's got to be a very strong personality. And so to me, I don't think it's hopeless with the Jets, but I do think that I'd rather go to a place where I know the quarterback is really good already.
Hey, what do you think of Jim Harbaugh coaching the Lions?
I mean, first of all, so much of getting a coach, I don't want to say winning the press conference, but, you know, I'm not saying he got run out of town on a rail in San Francisco, but they were happy to see him go at the end. Jim Harbaugh is not for everybody. He's very, very rough. And I wonder how he would be in a losing atmosphere. Plus, the other thing about the Lions is, what are you going to do with Matthew Stafford? And I don't think Matthew Stafford is bad in any way, shape, or form. But Danny's been the quarterback of that team for 12 years, and they've never won anything. Yeah. And I'm not saying I understand, oh, quarterback wins isn't a stat. I get it. But can you please lift your franchise once, just once? And he just has never done it. So now what do? Do you keep him at $35 million next year, or do you get rid of him and take a $25 million cap hit? And it's not going to be a horrible thing if you draft a quarterback to trade. You don't want to go out and sign a free agent quarterback for money. You want to draft a young quarterback, and you want to get him ready to go in your system. And that's probably what I would do right now if I were the Detroit Lions. I'd start fresh everywhere.
And I was told prior to the draft, I wondered if they kicked the tires on Tua in Detroit. And then I was told that the front office, like everybody knew their jobs were at stake this year if they didn't win. And if you did take Tua, you had your quarterback of the future, but you might not be there in the future with him.
Can you imagine right now if they had Tua and not Jeff Okuda, who, hey, look, it's been 11 games, but he's been a total non-impact player. Yeah. And we'll see what the future brings. And the only reason you draft Jeff Okuda is because the head coach was at war with Darius Slay, and they had to get rid of him. They couldn't re-sign him. So, you know, that era had to end. And obviously, in retrospect, they should have taken Tua.
And I'm kind of bummed out after talking to you, Pete. I don't know if we had any good news here.
Can we just mention Patrick Mahomes and how watching him every week is a gift the way Bulls fans used to have with Michael Jordan?
But it took us a little while to take Mike for granted. I said this a month ago. I said, Patrick Mahomes is the MVP. If we want to do this week to week where we go, who's the MVP and who's in and who's... Patrick Mahomes is... Like, it's not even close right now, I don't think. What he does...
Well, you know what? It's a 16-game award. And I think after 6 weeks, I definitely would have voted for Russell Wilson.
Okay.
Today, I would vote for Mahomes, and Rodgers and Wilson would be second and third in some order. But you're right. You know what? And I hope... Listen, I'm voting for the MVP every year. I'm not saying, well, Mahomes won it 3 years in a row. I'm not voting for him this year. I'm voting for somebody else. That's not the way you do it. Every single year is a snowflake. It's an individual entity. It's different. And if he's the MVP, vote for him. But look, you know, right now, today, entering December, he is the MVP.
30 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. And it doesn't look difficult. You know,
that's the amazing thing. Everything comes easy to him. Dan, last week they're in Vegas, okay? And they're down, they're down by 4 points at 3 different points of the second half. And each time they go down 4, he comes back with a drive of over 70 yards. And you're right. It just does not look hard. It's the amazing part of watching him play. It's a gift. And look, Aaron Rodgers is unbelievable, too. He's absolutely fantastic, and he is carrying that team as well as Mahomes is with Kansas City. So sometimes you forget about Rodgers, but he's unbelievably good.
Thank you, Pete. Thanks for staying up, and you can read the column Football Morning in America. Thank you again, Pete.
All the best, Dan. Thank you.
All right. We'll take a break. Play of the day and my Big Ten news. If you're an Ohio State fan, you'll want to listen up. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play's called play. Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
Check this out.
And here's the kick. It is kicked and squibbed down and recovered at the 35-yard line. And there it is, college football history. Vanderbilt's Sarah Fuller becomes the first female to play in a Southeastern Conference or a Power 5 conference game.
Congratulations to Sarah Fuller. As last week, she led Vanderbilt's women's soccer team to an SEC championship as a goalie. That's courtesy of Learfield IMG College. That is your play of the day. Play of the day brought to you by Built Bar. Thanks for taking me up on the offer. We love Built Bar. 18 amazing flavors. Mint brownie, coconut almond, pumpkin chocolate chip cookie. And believe me when I tell you, they're protein bars, but they don't taste like it. BuiltBar.com. Enter the promo code DP for 20% off. I promised some news here with the Big Ten. This is from a source yesterday, last night. Strong speculation that Northwestern versus Minnesota and Ohio State versus Michigan State get canceled. That would eliminate Ohio State from the conference championship, so they'll be desperate, but a high number of players will be missing. I followed up by saying, what else do you know? Ohio State is going to try to play, even if they're down their top guys. So once again, strong speculation, Northwestern versus Minnesota, Ohio State versus Michigan State get canceled, and that would eliminate Ohio State from the conference championship. They wouldn't qualify with enough games, so they're desperate to try to be able to get this game in. A high number of players right now would be missing. Also, got this information from Adam Schefter. NFL canceled the Ravens practice schedule for this morning, per league source. The Ravens last practice the Saturday before the Titans game, currently scheduled to play in Pittsburgh tomorrow night. The Ravens travel plans are in flux. Snow forecasted in Pittsburgh Tuesday morning. You know, at some point, the NFL just has to say, this ain't happening. I don't know what else has to happen before them to say that? Yeah, Paulie.
This feels kind of like, you know, you watch an action movie and the building is falling down around the celebrities, Bruce Willis and all that stuff, and they're running out and a piece is falling there. Sports wise, that's what the past week has felt like.
I just don't know. You know, at what point do you say this isn't a competitive game, that this is not fair to the Ravens to play this game? You know, it's nobody's fault. You know, it's COVID's fault. But at some point, the NFL, it feels like we're going to move it from Thursday. We can't have it Monday. Now we're going to do it Tuesday. That's going to affect the Ravens' schedule the following week. Like, at some point, these are dominoes. And you have to stop the game of dominoes here. I understand the Steelers. They're undefeated. But at some point, like, the Steelers don't know if this game's going to happen either. Yeah, Seton.
But shouldn't we, it doesn't seem like anybody's talking about forfeiting games, but shouldn't the Ravens be forced to forfeit then if the game's not going to happen? The Steelers should still get that win. It's the Ravens' fault that this is happening.
I know, but this is where they're not like the Broncos, where the quarterbacks didn't wear a mask in a meeting, or the Titans and what they did or didn't do, or what the Raiders did or didn't do. I don't know if the Ravens are being accused of anything other than they have, you know, a lot of positive tests, and then there's tracing issues here. You know, more players, more people tested positive over the weekend. Now you got a practice that's canceled. Now you don't even know about travel due to snow. Like, at some point, and this is a marquee matchup. This isn't a throwaway game. You know, the Bengals against the Jags. I mean, this is a really important game for both of these teams right now. And the Ravens on the outside of the playoffs looking in. Pittsburgh trying to go for an undefeated season. Yeah, Todd.
Does the league care at all what is and isn't a bad look? I know they had that big manifesto warning teams, and it looks good on paper to fine and take draft picks away, but to still push ahead and just have that attitude that we're playing these games no matter what.
Well, I think the bad look is to not play a game. If I'm the NFL, they're probably saying, okay, what looks worse? We somehow get a team out there and play? Or we don't play at all. Or there's a forfeit. You know, we could watch what the Broncos did, and you may have something like that with the Ravens. And we don't want to go through what we saw with the Broncos again. And this is a marquee matchup. And I think you just have to be flexible to be able to say it's not going to happen this week. We'll play this in week 18. We're going to add week 18. That way you can look at some of these situations and say, let's just move it to week 18. Now, I know that there may be other games for other teams, and maybe there's two games that are in jeopardy. I understand all of this, but I think you're going to get to the point where it doesn't seem like it's a real football game or it's fair to one or the other here. And if this doesn't move us to the week 18, I don't know if you're going to have a scenario when that happens. All right. Coming up next hour, we'll check in on Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Is everything okay with the Buccaneers? We'll hear from Tom Brady as well. Phone calls are welcome. We'll get to best and worst of the weekend. Seahawks and the Eagles, that's coming up tonight. And we think the Ravens and Steelers tomorrow. Did we settle on the poll question, McLovin?
We did, and I'll tell you after the break.
Did I wake you up?
I was giving you the thumbs up.